Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 29th. It is 6 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Casey.
Yeah.
I have a major announcement this morning.
Oh.
To start the week.
I'm interested.
And this really pains me to do this.
What?
But I think I was wrong.
What?
I know, right? And this is just, I've had to reach deep into my soul mm-hmm. to pull this out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after hearing that interview Tony Katz did with Ursel Özdemir this morning,
yeah.
that I was totally wrong about what went down with this Indy 11 dealio.
Yeah. I think you might have been wrong as well. And I would like to remind you at one point in our conversation about the Indy 11 deal and Hogsett's announcement that he wants to have an MLS expansion team here come to Indianapolis. At one point during our conversation, I said we should consider that maybe Hogsett is deciding to cut and run. He's enough with the 10 years with Indy 11 and Ursel, and he's moving on.
Okay, so just a little background. We're going to play you a couple clips from this interview because these clips are a little longer than what we normally play. But what I didn't want is for anybody to hear them and then or later them go, well, he just selectively edited that. Or mm-hmm. because the answers are so bizarre that it's like I wanted to play them in their entirety. So Ursel Özdemir, who is the owner of the Indy 11, the Keystone Group that's doing this or was doing this development across from Lucas Oil Stadium, was on with Tony Katz this morning. And of course, last week, all the big news late in the week was Hogsett comes out and basically seems to stick a middle finger in the Indy 11's face and says, we're going for Major League Soccer. And it appeared that Ursel Özdemir was cut out of the game. The Indy 11 are cut out of the game. And you hear this stuff initially, and you're saying to yourself, okay, Ursel Özdemir is this super rich, super successful developer. There's no way he didn't have some sort of ironclad agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as someone who had served in elected office in a local government capacity, these developers, whether they're asking for annexations or they're asking, you know, for to build large developments or whatever, if it's something that's going to benefit a municipality, they're getting it in writing. Like, I've been a part of these things. I know how they work. And so I said, there's no way. I mean, this thing is infinitely bigger than anything I'd ever been a part of. I mean, I'm talking about like warehouses or, you know, basic restaurant revitalizations or whatever. There's no way a guy of his experience and level of knowledge and know-how and business acumen, there's no way he didn't have some sort of ironclad, something he's going to be able to take into a court of law and go, ha, we gotcha.
Right.
And after hearing this interview with Tony, I'm not convinced of that at all.
Not so sure. I mean, this is a billion-dollar mixed-use development deal that they were talking about, anchored by the Indy 11. And at this point, based on this interview, sounds like maybe it was done with a pinky swear.
Okay, so what stood out to me in this interview, and this is totally not Tony's fault. I'm not in any way blaming Tony. I was texting with Tony earlier. It was a great get by Tony. It was a fascinating interview. But I played this for you to hear it first. I said, am I imagining this? He doesn't answer any of Tony's questions.
No, and Tony gave him some direct questions.
Yes. I mean, they're things that, like, we're going to play two clips, and these clips are a little longer than what we normally play, but I didn't want in any way people to say it was manipulating or cutting it off or selectively editing. And Tony asks him right out of the gate, did you have a deal? And we're going to actually play Tony asking the question. So there's no he said, she said here. He asks him directly, and it's a great question. Did you have a deal with the city? And now, Casey, if you had a deal with the city, wouldn't you become rip-roaring out of the gate and go, yeah, I had a deal with the city, and those no good, you know what, this and that, they stabbed me in the back, and I'll see them in a court of law, and I'm going to take it for everything.
They're a bunch of hucksters. Everybody needs to know, and I'm taking them to court.
Listen to this non-answer to a question that should have been 100% right in his wheelhouse to knock out of the ballpark.
Did you have a deal? Did the Indy 11 have a deal with the city of Indianapolis about bringing Major League Soccer to Indy or at least agreeing on building what's known as 11 Park, the stadium with the retail and the everything else?
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me. I am excited to be here to talk about 11 Park. Obviously, I'm a Purdue engineer. I'm a builder. I'm a developer. And I want to just kind of talk about the facts today. Keystone is one of the largest real estate developers in Indiana, and we focus on transformational mixed-use development. Uh-huh. As you know, in the last recent years, downtown, we've invested over $250 million, you know, to building, redeveloping buildings, and we now own over almost 30 acres that we own and control downtown. So goal is obvious. I'm a builder. I want to do that, and I want to build a transformational mixed-use development downtown. And that's our, what our goal has been, and that's what really we're focused on to do that. And obviously, for us, there's a right way to do this, is that we purchased a franchise. We looked around the country. There's a lot of cities that have a division, two teams, professional teams, like Cincinnati, Nashville, and Portland, and Seattle, and they've done the right thing to get to MLS. But when I purchased this team, over 10 years ago, and our goal was privately funded, myself, and we basically, as you said, played at Carroll Stadium. We showed the Indiana that soccer is the world's game, Indiana's team, and we will be successful in the long term. And then with the, what we've done, what we invested over the years, as you know, that we went to the State House in 2019 to show our vision. For those that, obviously, there's been so much happened since then, that just to recall, when we were at the State House, we talked about 11 Park being transformational neighborhood development. Soccer is the anchor tenant for that, for Ind 11. But it wasn't just about the soccer stadium, because that's what we do. Keystone does transformational neighborhood development. We talked about building apartments. We talked about building hotels, restaurants, retail. We shared our vision that we want to help transform downtown.
Everyone knows
as we've done it over 20-some years.
So
he went on. That was a two-plus-minute segment, Casey, and he totally, it's so straightforward. Did you have a deal with the city? If you had a deal, that would, you would come storming out of the gate. And I am left to believe, based on that total non-answer, the only logical conclusion I can come to is
they didn't have one.
And that is insane to get in bed with Joe Hogsett, knowing his track record of stabbing anyone and everyone in the back, up to and including law enforcement. If he'd do it to law enforcement, you think he wouldn't go do it to you? And it does not appear this guy, unless... why would you not answer that if you had the thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. It sounds like he didn't. And for going on for 10 years, they tried to join the MLS in 2017. They tried again in 2019. He said they shopped it around to state legislature. That's different from having a deal, a done deal, lock and step with the city.
Everybody, he said all the things we already know. We know what the Keystone Group is. We know what your vision was. Mm-hmm. We know you went to the General Assembly. He answered everything but that question.
He didn't get it done, and I think that's the entire point. He had 10 years, and I think at some point, Hogsett said, you know what, I'm done with you. We're moving on.
Now, Tony was kind of, you know, did kind of his own analysis on this afterwards, and I thought it was, his analysis was a little interesting. Tony kind of said he didn't come out the way that he had thought. And you do wonder, is he holding something back? But if so, why would you do the interview then? What's the point of doing the interview? That is the question. Look, if you didn't have a deal with the city, then the only story here is Joe Hawks is a backstabbing jerk who will treat his friends like garbage. Hey, we already knew that. And I cannot believe, if that's the case, that someone of Ursel Özdemir's experience would make this deal. Also, one other clip I got to play for you, and it's the same thing about the non-answer. Tony asks him very directly if he had the money to get into the MLS.
Because there's like a $500 million buy-in.
And again, if the answer is, oh yeah, wouldn't you come rip-roaring out of the gate? Oh yeah, we got investors. We got more money than we know what to do with. We've offered that in a briefcase of $1 bills and wheelbarrows. And listen to this non-answer.
Does the Indy 11 have the $500 million that it would take to buy into Major League Soccer?
Well, Tony, as we said before, and maybe I should have mentioned that I have done this on my own privately for almost 10 years. Maybe it's not as clear, it's on our website, but I've recently added, to do it right way, you need local ownership group. This is Indianapolis, this is our town, and I've brought in some of the most respected Indiana families. They're born and raised here to be part of my ownership group. You can look it up, their name, Salem family, Hageman family, Ricker family. So collectively, obviously, these are great families that are they are willing to invest to make sure that we have all the resources to do the stadium as well as the real estate development. And if there's an opportunity for MLS, again, MLS, it isn't just you write a check, you bring MLS. You have to have all the ingredients to be available, like a local ownership group, like a stadium deal, like a do that. And this is all we have been doing. We've been, since day one, follow the base of the right way to do this, to build the team, build the fan base, you know, get a legislation passed, then buy the land, get it designed, and work with the cities to do that. We've done everything for us until we get to this point to get us become eligible for MLS. And so, obviously, we've done all the work to get it here to do that. That would have been our next, you know, push, is that after the stadium is finalized, which we're hoping that it's done now, then we will be putting all efforts and resources towards an MLS franchise to do that.
Did you hear a yes in there, Casey?
I heard that was next. We were going to do that next. That's what was coming
Wouldn't
up.
The first thing you would be like, here's our $500 million. Mm-hmm. That's set aside. That stays there so that everybody sees we're not screwing around. And then we're doing everything else. Those are the two questions, mm-hmm. right? That appears to be why Hogsett did this, is there was no deal with the city. And he found somebody who he knew had the money. And I'm not saying I'm Team Hogsett, because you know my theory in this, Casey, is Indy 11's been a great corporate partner. They've been a great part of the city. They were going to do this development, which was going to revitalize a dilapidated area. You don't stab your friends in the back. You're setting a precedent for that. But when you have no regard for anyone like Joe Hogsett does, hey, baby, if it ain't in print, I'm adios.
I feel like he should have answered it like Trump did outside the courtroom. How are you going to cover the bond? Cash.
I thought it was.
You got the money? Yes.
Interesting interview. I'm sure Tony will get back into it today on his midday show. I thought Ursula Ozdemir sounded horrible in this interview, but maybe people come to other conclusions. I just thought the lack of answers mm-hmm. to me made him look terrible.
Was a little telling. Yeah. All right. You did something exciting last night. And we're going to get into that coming up from 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You actually did something social and out in public last night, Rob, and you seem to be aging rather well. We're going to get into that coming up on 93 WIBC.
Admit it. You saw that photo and you were like, dang, give me some of that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was. Something else that maybe not aging quite as well as they had hoped. For the past 30 years, Circle Center Mall has been somewhat of the commerce hub of downtown Indianapolis, and now it's going to have new owners. Of course, the sale of Circle Center Mall has been completed. The new owners announced it last week, and it's going to be Hendrix Commercial Properties Group that are going to be taking over, and they're set to invest about $600 million over the next decade into Circle Center Mall and transform it into an open-air, pedestrian-focused campus.
Well, I believe it was Nine Inch Nails and then Johnny Cash that once said, everything I know goes away in the end. Kev's mm-hmm. smiling at that because he's a big Nine Inch Nails True. Fan. Yeah. And that's part of getting older is the realization that things that brought you happiness or joy or comfort, unless they find a way to modernize themselves, they eventually go away. Two, to make way for new things that fill new needs of a community. And the reality is, for people my age, we were kids when Circle Center Mall became a thing. And in the mid-90s, malls were still a vital, vibrant part of any thriving community. Circle Center Mall was this totally, you know, game-changing place. I mean, they had the arcade and the movie theater and obviously all the shops. But let's face it. In-person brick-and-mortar stores are, thanks to online shopping, et cetera, not what they once were. People like Hogsett and Ryan Mears have allowed this city to get to a point from a safety perspective where people don't have any desire really to come downtown unless it's some sort of destination type of thing like a Pacers game or a concert or whatever for many people. So it's simply on the mall model in a major metropolitan city. Simply unsustainable.
Have you been to Circle Center Mall in a while? It's pretty quiet inside.
Man, yeah. You know, I used to go over there all the all the time when I was when I actually used to work really hard over here, mm-hmm. when I was the producer for the women, and then they'd take full advantage of me and have me like work afternoon shifts. Man, it's been a long time since I've been in Circle Center Mall, mm-hmm. and the last, man, probably a year, maybe two, and the last time I was in there, it was pretty desolate.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet now. They're going to include some retail space in the new version of it, but also office space and even residential development. And part of this includes $64 million in tax credits and partly forgivable loans if this Hendrix Group meets all of the development requirements. And they're going to have a decade to do it. And this has all been finalized with the city and our good friends at IEDC.
Oh boy.
They're all going to work collaboratively.
Well, look, you know, when we get into this deep dive on this Brad Chambers development, that was a City Way, is that the name of it, that the Indy Star had the big expose on, and how, you know, he got those sweet loans from the city and hasn't paid a bunch of them back. And, you know, while the project itself is okay, you know, from a financial standpoint, it doesn't appear the city's kind of been made whole. And so you just hope that whatever this is and whatever deal has been struck, that it will create a vibrant downtown, and give people a reason, I should say, to come back here and try to put some commerce into that large chunk of prime real estate, because right now that's just, it's not happening.
Yep. Mayor Hogsett, he said that Indianapolis has been waiting for the day when a bold vision would once again reimagine this asset in the heart of the city. So,
All right, Casey, let's take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, Casey's mm-hmm. been just, I mean, she's just been clamoring for everyone to see this photo, a beautiful yeah. photo of 23-year-old me.
Uh-huh.
And
I have.
She's just like, oh my gosh, you have to show everybody. I went and did something with a longtime friend, and then I found an old photo of us, and Casey was like, oh my God, it's just unbelievable.
All right, well, we're going to reveal that coming up from 93 WIBC. You ready to rock and roll? You got another thing coming. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So you did a thing last night down at White River State Park, huh?
I left the house.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. You were among all your fans, weren't you?
It's so rare, like maybe two or three times a year, that if it's not something work related, mm-hmm. be it the golf course or here, that I leave the house, you know, for any sort of social interaction.
Yeah.
You know, I am the James Earl Jones character from Field of Dreams at the hot dog stand, and my desire is to be left alone.
I'm surprised that the event that you went to kind of shocked me. You mentioned it briefly as you were running out the door on Friday, and then I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah. My buddy Scott, who is an incredibly accomplished newsman in Ohio, in a major media market in Columbus, in Ohio, for the kind of their equivalent of WIBC over there. We've been friends for about 20 years. He is a gigantic fan of this obscure Swedish band called Sabaton.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know who these guys are,
that
Kev.
That sounds right up my alley.
Oh, you would have loved it, Kev. I was sitting there watching these Yahoos, and I was like, this Kevin should be here.
That's my style.
Sabaton, look them up, Kev. And so they were opening for Judas Priest, and so he's like, hey, I got the week off work. You care if I roll in and we'll go to the Judas Priest concert so I can see these guys. And I see the guy once every year, couple of years. And so asked my wife if it would be fine if I was a terrible father and abandoned my family for the evening. And she said, absolutely. So we went down to White River. And mm-hmm. man, I'll tell you what, last night, Casey, downtown with the Pacer game,
yeah.
that concert, I would say there was probably, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 people there at White River. I mean, the place looked pretty much packed, sold out. And man, just an awesome time downtown Indianapolis, giving off some great vibes last night.
And you felt safe and everything was okay. I mean, you had nice weather for the evening.
Well, you have seen my buddy Scott, by the way, and we'll get to this in a second. I have a picture of us up at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. He looks like the sort of guy you wouldn't, one, who would be at a Judas Priest concert, mm-hmm. and two, a guy you would not actually want to mess with. So I felt relatively safe. But we sprinted. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't dawdle around. Mm-hmm. We parked at the parking garage here, and we were on a rapid jog and ignoring the panhandlers and the homeless people, and made it. right there and back in one piece.
No, you don't have a full body shot of him. But if I were to stereotype him,
yeah,
just based on his head, because yeah, that's all I can see. He's bald. He's got a big beard.
Yeah.
He looks like the type of dude who carries and rides a Harley.
He is very, he's a farmer by trade.
Okay.
And he runs his family farm and does the news. And yes, he looks straight out of Sons of Anarchy central casting, right?
Yeah.
But he's like just the nicest guy in the world. Here was one thing that was great. It was like, you know, we were just amongst the people and a bunch of people coming up saying, hey, we love the show. We listen all the time. Where's Casey?
She's not at the Judas Priest concert.
She's not here.
The dude totally wanted to go. Hey, we could have gone downtown. I was like, go for it.
But man, it was awesome to meet a bunch of people that were fans of the show. And we appreciate all you guys and we appreciate you listening. And like I said, it's just a rare opportunity that I was able to get out of the house for a few hours. And so here's what I did. Like I said, my buddy Scott and I have been friends for 20 years now. And so I came in this morning and I said, Casey, I found a photo of us from 17 years ago.
Yeah.
And I showed it to her and I said, admit it, Casey, you would have been madly in love with 23-year-old Rob Kendall.
You have a very nice smile. All those white pearly teeth are glowing. Now, here's the thing that I noticed. First, let's talk about your friend.
Yeah.
Scott is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He, the younger version of Scott, he looks like he's got a full head of hair and he's smiling nicely.
Yeah.
And his face is thinner.
Yeah. It's called aging.
Yeah. But now his face is fuller. The hair's gone, but the beard is full now.
Yes.
So he took the hair from his head and put it on his face. You, on the other side, when you were younger, your face looked fuller.
Yeah.
I almost want to say it's baby fat.
Could be.
Now,
youthful beauty.
Your face has thinned out.
So we were talking about this, and you know, I'm like the last person to chew my own horn, Casey, you know, with my modesty, but I'm not going to say I'm one of those age in reverse people like Tom Brady, but I think I'm now inside. Look, I have no idea what's going on inside because it's been TV dinners and sodas and alcohol for 20 years. So it could be
a great diet.
But externally, I will put 20 years of Rob Kendall up against 20 years of anybody else. And I think I'm going to hold... I think I'm going to hold serve.
Yeah. Well, now that you got the hair fixed, I mean, you got the same head of hair.
That's it. That was the only thing. I mean, I'm basically same weight. I'm basically, same level of fitness.
Are you the same weight?
Pretty much. I weigh somewhere between 155 and 160, and that's normally what I am. I've been more like... buff, for lack of a better term, based on my marital or dating status at various times. But other than that, I've always kind of been... Look at this. I mean, I treat my body like an Adonis, Casey.
You're like Benjamin Button.
Oh, no.
So we put the photo up of us 17 years apart at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. Casey edited this for me because, I know nothing about technology. I walk in and I go, Casey, can you take two photos?
Can you do a side-by-side?
I said,
yes, I can.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I see this on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so Casey did that. And so I put them up at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. And look, my only thing is... all the women cannot remove their underwear at once when they see this photo of a young version of me. That's my only thing. Okay.
No, you didn't. No, you're taken. You're a married man. What, you can't make that happen anymore.
What were you doing over the weekend? You were cooking?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you were souffleing.
I went crazy. So I went shopping with my daughter and I saw some little ceramic ramekins and I thought,
What?
Ramekins. They're the little small round dish.
You
can bake all sorts of different things in them. And so one thing I realized is I've never knew how to make a souffle and I thought that might be fun. So
That has been a life ambition of yours?
It was just something I thought I was kind of interested in. Let's see if I can do this. So I made the vanilla souffle on Saturday and then that turned out pretty well. It didn't have a strong flavor profile, but I had to make sure I knew what I was doing.
What does that mean? It didn't have a strong flavor profile.
It just not a. There just wasn't a lot to it. It was vanilla.
Does that mean there's like an imbalance of ingredients?
No,
like
it just means it's not as flavorful or robust as it could be. So
you're teaching yourself. You don't want to get super fancy with
it. Right, on your first try.
Sure.
So I did that, and then we graduated up to the cheese souffle, which was amazing.
Wait.
A little more savory of a dish.
So is that still a dessert?
No, you would. No, it's definitely more of a savory.
Okay,
thing.
Gotcha.
And then after the souffle, I said I'm not done yet, so I did chicken pot pie with homemade crust, and that was amazing.
When did you start being Gordon Ramsay?
I know. Do you know what you can learn to do with YouTube? It's just amazing. Just follow the instructions on YouTube. And then I topped it off with an apple crisp. Now, crumble.
Have you long been into, like, I've never heard you express some sort of serious interest in cooking.
Right. I don't know. I'm next level now.
Do you cook often?
No, I bake more than I cook.
Oh, okay.
But when I do it, I'm all in, apparently.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
You sent me a photo. Good. I thought it was a stock photo.
Did you really?
It looked that good.
So I sent it to Kevin, and he said, well, you have the presentation down. How does it taste?
I was very impressed with the presentation.
Yeah.
You should totally post that to @CaseyDaniels317 so people can see that.
I'll do a side-by-side of all the different things that I prepared over the weekend. So next step is the chocolate souffle.
Yeah.
And that one, if it's any good, I'll bring in and share with you guys, okay?
Wonderful.
You are listening to Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So over the weekend, Rob was busy at a concert. I was busy cooking. You know what your president was doing?
Did you post that photo, by the way, of your food?
No, not yet. I'm going to do it here in just a minute. When we get into the news, I'll post it.
What was Joe Biden doing?
He was at the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner making jokes. And that's what you would expect, right? With inflation where it is, the border open, everything going on across the globe, and he's making jokes.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because going all the way back, like, I get that they've done this for generations now, that the president has gone and done this. But I don't know. I mean, I obviously first started paying attention to these sort of things. Bush was president. And I remember him doing some bit where he was looking for the weapons of mass destruction on stage.
Totally inappropriate.
And ever since then, this country has just gotten progressively worse year after year after year. And yet these presidents go and crack jokes. And it's like, I get that in your lavish lifestyle, where everything from limousine rides to state-of-the-art, you know, gymnasiums to, you know, the world's greatest chefs, and everything's kind of okay for you in that Washington insider crowd. There ain't nothing funny about what's going on in the world to me.
He was making fun of Donald Trump, saying that, you know, he was poking fun of his own age. You know, yeah, of course I look old when I'm running against a six-year-old. And here's another one of his jokes.
Some of you complain that I don't take enough of your questions. No comment. Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it.
So Saturday Night Live's Colin Jost was the host of the event. He got a couple.
Who?
Colin Jost. He does the weekend update with Michael Che.
I don't.
And he, at one point, he joked that
Michael who?
Yeah, Michael Che.
He's a comedian.
Is he related to the guy, the Che guy that's on the t-shirts?
Che Guevara? No, no relation.
I don't know who any of these people are, Casey. No, I mean, do you think the average, who are these two people that you just named?
Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Do you think the average person has any idea who Colin Jost and Michael Che is? And look, I get that I'm not Mr. Pop Culture.
Yeah.
But there was a time where Saturday Night Live, you knew all the characters.
They've
right?
been doing it for a while. They're on a couple years now of hosting the weekend update.
But my greater question is, like, is anybody still watching Saturday Night Live outside of that little, like, elitist bubble?
Right.
Like, what conservative person is actively watching Saturday Night Live and thinking, oh, this is really funny, I'm getting a lot out of Saturday Night
Live? Especially not after this performance at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I mean, Colin Jost was just, you know, really buttering up Joe Biden. Of course, Donald Trump had a few things to say about it. He said the White House Correspondents' Dinner was really bad, Colin Jost bombed, and Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. Doesn't get much worse than this.
Of course.
And for his part, Joe Biden, your president, now openly joking about the political persecution against his top political opponent.
I had a great stretch since the State of the Union.
But Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell?
So he made a few jokes and barbs at Donald Trump's expense.
Well, and look, he comes full circle from the standpoint of whether it was, and we're equal opportunity offenders here, because we started this segment off about, you know, talking about how when Bush did it, I thought it was totally inappropriate. This country is crushing a lot of people right now. There's more people it's crushing than it's helping, and it isn't even close. And Joe Biden has no answers for anything. You've got people who can't afford food. You've got people who can't afford gas. You've got people who can't afford homes. They can't afford to move up. They can't afford to move forward. And they're doing nothing to help that. You've got 9 million people who have illegally entered the country. You've got the Middle East basically in flames. You've got a complete disaster in Afghanistan. You've got literally hundreds of billions of dollars now being printed, which is making everything more expensive, to go to a government, in the case of Ukraine, who hates us. And it's all just fun and games to these people. They live in their own little bubble. They live in their own little world, and they don't feel the ramifications of any of this. So why would they care?
You could tell there was some nervous laughter a few times from the audience. And Colin Jost, the guy who was hosting, he made jokes at Fox News and Newsmax, didn't say anything about CNN.
No, of course not.
Or MSNBC.
Of course not.
Of course he's not going to say anything about NBC, because that's where his paycheck comes from. But you were asking about Michael Che, his co-host on Saturday Night Live. And here is Colin Jost. He's roasting Biden after some of his recent polls and his loss of the black community's support.
Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV. My weekend update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Hey, did your man go to the big shindig downtown over the weekend?
He did. He stopped in really quick to meet up with some people.
What was it? Was it PopCon? Is that what that's called?
Did you
go with him?
No, I did not.
You just sit him on his own?
No, I was cooking. I spent my entire paycheck at the grocery store. I thought, I'm going to make some food to last us the whole week, because it's too expensive now to go out to eat. So I'm going to try and recreate some restaurant style food here at home.
Yeah, I saw that he went. And so I just wondered if he gave you sort of a play-by-play of the sights and shenanigans that he saw down there, because I know Abdul was there as well. And
that seems like it would be right up Abdul's alley.
Oh, totally. He's getting like photos with Darth Vader, and then some sort of, I saw he had some sort of character made of Superman, but it's his face on Superman's body. And so I just saw that your man went, and he was photographing with all the, you know, the big muckety mucks that he always hangs out with.
Yeah, he went down for a minute and he came back. And I think at one point he wanted to tell me about the experience.
And
but,
you didn't care?
But I put him to work.
Disinterested?
I was like, those onions need to be done.
Here's the thing
about... Start chopping some celery.
This is the thing about Casey's husband is there are certain people, and Kev, you will back me up on this from a dude perspective, who just have the outwardly friendly face and cool guy persona where you're like, that guy could walk into a room and within, give him 30 minutes and everybody will want to take him out to St. Elmo's for, you know, cocktails and shrimp. And that's your husband. Mm-hmm. Like, he just meets random people.
Aren't I so lucky?
And becomes their best friend. And then he's always like, this is my friend Larry. I met him 20 minutes ago. We're best friends now. Larry has a fine collection of model airplanes.
Yes. And then what did I do? Start chopping celery. We need to peel these apples. Let's go. He was my sous chef over the weekend.
Okay, so why don't we take a... What are we going to do at the top of next hour?
I don't know. I wanted to talk about Venice. Did you hear about Venice? How they're charging people to get into the city?
Oh, that's like access to the city itself.
Yeah, they're charging day tourists a fee. Have you ever heard about that?
That's actually not a bad idea.
Like, because, you know, they've got these peak attraction times when everybody wants to come into Venice, and it's a small place. And so the city decided, we're going to start charging people to enter our city.
I don't want new people where I live.
Right?
I like that.
It's not a big expense, It's $5.37.
Perfect.
Random price, right?
Anything to keep people away from me and people out of the place that I live, I'm kind of for that. I wonder if you could legally do that in the state of Indiana. Like, could you set up a barrier at the Brownsburg town limits and charge people who don't have some sort of ID that they live in the town?
Well, that's the thing with Venice. I mean, it's surrounded by water, so you have to one way in, one way out.
I like this.
You'd have to have a checkpoint on every road in Brownsburg to make that happen.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Casey.
Of course, in Brownsburg, they wouldn't make it $5.37. They'd make it more like $10, $15. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.